Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. I just wanted to introduce everyone to a new great show we're going to have here on Everything DMV Radio, hosted by Plain Sight and Google, Hidden Blacks Law, where we bring all of the information that you need straight to you via radio. We're here to educate communities on the law that are not being told, protecting your rights as a people. We're going to give you the whole law and nothing but the law so you can overstand what you're not being told. I have two great guys with me this morning. I have Google and Plain Sight. They are well versed in the background of law. And without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and let them explain to you what this show is all about and why they're here for you. Welcome to the show, Google and Plain Sight. How y'all doing this morning?
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Doing well. Glad to be up.
Doing well on this side. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Right. I love to hear that. So tell me what this is all about.
Go ahead. I'll let you start.
No, I was just going to make the initial disclaimer that any information that you receive in this program will be for educational and referential purposes only. It is not legal advice to be taken at face value. Also, I'm sorry, that's all I had to say.
The reason behind this is me being Google, had some altercations with authorities, and that was happening on a consistent basis, which was every month. So, and going through all that, I got to the point where I had gotten to some legal issues, and I was trying to figure out why I kept getting to the same legal issue over and over again. So what I decided to do was start actually reading the law and reading what I was not being told by the courts or by my lawyer. In doing so, I learned a lot about what is not being told, because if they told you what you don't know, then they would not be able to do anything as far as the courts are concerned.
Right. Tell me about some of those experiences.
In the state I live in, Maryland, of course, they have this situation where when you are getting your license as a person, you go through this period of learners where you are doing it for 18 months. And being just moved to a new area in Maryland, brand new car, got stopped 17 months in. Now, the thing I did not know about Maryland, which they do not tell you, is once you are of a certain age, it doesn't matter how old you are, according to them, that you are always going to be on provisional. You have to be 18 months, even though specifically in their books, their law books, or what they call their law books of codes and regulations as far as driving is concerned, there is no actual specification for anything over the age of 25. So not knowing that, I got to stopped 17 months. 17 months in, as soon as you get stopped, doesn't matter how long it's been, just because you got stopped, doesn't matter if you're convicted or not, you have to start all over again.
Wow.
So your 17 months goes back to one day.
Wow.
Day one, day two, day three, and you got to start all over again. They don't tell you that. So I ended
wow.
up in court, doing yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Come back, get stopped again. Month later, almost the same exact day. I think it actually was the same exact
wow.
day the prior month on the 27th of the month. Same
wow.
thing happened. You know,
yeah.
Had to go to court for that. Did not know. Still didn't say anything to me. Happened one more time the following month on the 28th. Like I said, almost the same exact day every single month.
All
over again. Same thing happened again, went to court, did not know. So the whole time, mine is getting reset back to day one every single time. Not telling me. Never told me. Go on months, don't get pulled over. I end up putting on my military sticker of Marine Corps on the back of my car just so they know I'm a Marine. So thinking it might help me out. It did. Never didn't get stopped again. I was good. Coming home one day, my wife's birthday, get stopped. All of a sudden, it's a suspended license. I've been driving on a suspended license. No one ever notified me. Even when I went to court, they never said anything about it.
Wow.
So now they pull me over, trying to take my car, calling the vehicle, some other things, trying to take it from me. Didn't end up happening, but having to go through all those issues, going to court, trying to get that taken off my record and all that good stuff, it was just a big issue and hassle. So that is why I got into studying law.
Wow.
It's a good thing you learned about those vehicles.
Yeah, a good thing I learned about vehicles.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we have for the people today, and what are we going to let them know?
What we're certainly going to allow the people to, or we're going to inform them on, is the fact that what they deal with in these transactions with the state and this these regulations, you're not actually dealing in the realm of law. You're dealing in their constructed realm of code and statute, which does not apply to you as a person or as a member of the people living within the United States. Now, I know that sounds a little heavy, but we're going to basically break it down because it's really simple language and semantics that keeps the common individual from understanding what their actual legal standing is as far as their rights and what they have access to. So we're going to kind of clarify and elucidate some of that information for you guys. And I guess, honestly, in order to get to that, we have to understand how to differentiate the realm of law versus commercial policy, which is what they ensnare you in under the false guise of law. So basically, to get to that, we have to discuss the concept of common law in and of itself, which I guess just to give a little background information, was actually made clear to me by an individual I didn't know at the time. And they just had me research somebody, actually. And I think all members of the listening audience should check out a man by the name of William Thornton. He does a lot of background on it. And basically, upon discovering some of the information that he was dropping, I was really, like, drawn into a rabbit hole. And when I came out the other side, I could just easily see how the state is defrauding people. So I guess without getting too far into it, if Google would like to maybe just do a little breakdown on common law in and of itself and explaining it, we can kind of get into a discussion of how policy, statute, all these other regulatory terms that apply to business are not actually a reflection of the law itself. We can kind of do a roundtable.
All right, so as the United States itself is based upon the Magna Carta. We have to go through the history, you know, of why things are the way they are. So the Magna Carta was in control of the United States before they had the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. The Magna Carta,
yeah.
Which was the ones
the
law.
Settlers, yeah, came in with the de facto British law that ruled their land, and before there was ever any legal guidelines for this territory now known as the United States of America. So by bringing their customs to this land, they brought their law. And that law is actually entirely derived from the Magna Carta. And from its ratified form, which came from the year 1215. And basically, in that law, there exists the principle of sovereignty, not to be confused with sovereign personhood, which doesn't exist. But to be a sovereign in and of themselves is to be a ruling figure. And basically that just extends to your body and all proprietary aspects of your existence is all under your sovereign control, which means it's not to be interacted or interfered with by another unless you assume some responsibility in the form of harming or doing wrong to another person is the only way that another person can take legal action or recourse against you.
It goes even further, because if you actually look at states' constitutions, that states that are in the corporation or the community of the United States of America, because people don't understand wording, and that's where they get you, is the misrepresentation of wording. So they get you with, because there's three forms of words of dictionary vocabulary. There is slang, which is regional, you know, from person to person, you know, from place to place, it differs. Then you have the regular English that people walk around with and use every day. And then you have this thing called legalese. Legalese is what courts use. They don't use anything else. The reason they use legalese is because the wording and the definitions do not change. They stay the same year to year, decade to decade. Does not matter. So in the wording of legalese, there is the difference between the United States and the United States of America. Because it literally says in the Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution, it says they institute, we the people of the United States, institute this Constitution for the United States of America. That word for is what separates the people from the corporation, which is the United States of America. So they made sure to make sure the wording was very specific, because they used specific wording, which was legal. And in that, they made sure they separated the common man from the corporation, which had basically, like they say, a president, secretary, you know, had the security, which is the defense. So it broke it down literally as like a company, a regular company. But most people fail to see it as a company because it's such a large company. If you actually tend to care to look it up, well, we're not really going to go into that today. There have been court cases where they have said themselves that the United States is a corporation. So,
wow.
We're not going to get into that today. That's a whole separate issue. But this word people. So I always use the Maryland State Constitution. Constitution of Maryland, Declaration of Independence, or Declaration of Rights, I should say, or for reference. Because I'm in Maryland and I know it well. It says the word people, which most do not understand, the word people in legal definition, in legal terminology, is both singular and plural.
It's so super important.
It's super important. You can be an individual person, as they call it, person, because that's a legal term for corporation. But you can be an individual people, or you can be a group of people. So when they say people in legal terminology, they don't tell you that you can separate it. You can separate yourself from the group.
Which is important to notice, because if you check out the preamble of the Constitution of the United States of America, it is introduced as we, the people, and then everything else falls underneath it. And it's not incidental. It's perfectly drawn up that way. To allow those authors to know that the classification of people falls above anything stated here within that document. And if you take that to literal context, you'll understand that basically the Constitution is a document that serves the people And if you understand that in an individual context, you'll understand that everything that falls within it is a protection guaranteed to you, and not even by the document itself. It's actually just outlining the protections that are guaranteed to you.
So when you're talking about those things that are guaranteed to you, a lot of people don't understand. They can't even get to the point where they overstand. But they don't even overstand. So they can't even get to the point of understanding. Because the word, when you're using the word people, so it literally says all the time, they always say, the people control the government control doesn't control the people. Well, if you don't understand what the wording is, it doesn't help you.
All right. Cool. I'd like to delve in a little further with wording and terminology, just a little bit, and basically kind of extract the information of form of government, which kind of puts into clearer understanding why this is important. I just wanted to talk about government because, for instance, if you've been living in America for any amount of time and have just been listening to the TV, the media, or anything else at large, even the educational system, you'll walk out with the impression that you live in a democracy. So, and let's check it out real quick. A democracy is a form of government where the sovereign power resides in a body of the free citizenry, and everything is voted to a point of a majority rule, which no matter how it breaks down, if 51% or more of the individuals comprising that body of government known as a democracy, when they decide on something, that becomes de facto law without a means of recourse for anybody who feels like that's incorrect. So at that point, it's very important to note that we are not in a democracy because, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. So they'll allow you, they institutionalize you, wake you up every morning and tell you that you're in a republic, but then have you exercising your existence within this place as though you're under the rule of a democracy, which is entirely incorrect, because a republic is where the sovereignty is vested in the people, note the terminology, and exercised by the people, either directly or through representatives chosen by the people. And you'll keep noticing that it keeps referencing back to people, trying to show you that the power is actually within the individual and that every person is their own sovereign. We are, in fact, in a republic. So that's important to note.
And just to make sure we stay on topic, so most people don't understand also and need to know that there's only two forms of law. There's only two. They will tell you everything else under the sun, but there's only two. There's common law and there's admiralty law.
Uh-huh.
The law of the land and the law of the sea. There's only two. So admiralty law is a law of commerce. So commerce is what everyone deals in when they're doing any kind of trade, you know, when you are selling something. And that's why they have the whole, when you go into a courtroom, they say, well, you owe this person that much because they did this service for you or they did that for you, because that falls under admiralty law.
Dealing in the world of business.
World of trade.
Trade, yeah, right, or commerce, yeah.
Yes, that's admiralty law. Now, common law is the law of the land, which the sovereign decides, because everyone's a sovereign. I'll go further. Like I said, I use the Constitution of Maryland for reference. It literally says in the Constitution of Maryland that all government of rights originate from the people. So it says right there that the people are over the government, because the government can't do anything unless the people say so. It says, and then it says, goes on further to say, it is founded in compact only. So it is vitally important that you understand wording and definition. A compact, by definition, is a contract. Is a contract. So if you have a contract with the state, and that's the only way they can enforce everything or anything, that means you have to have some legal action where you went into a contract with them, stating that, yes, I want you to represent me, I want you to rule over me, I want you to tell me what to do. Unless a state has that information documented and can present it in a court of law, then you do not have a contract with the state.
Very important thing to note about contracts. No contracts exist in which both parties are not privy to the agreement or full understanding of the agreement.
For any contract to be valid, there has to be clear understanding by both parties of all things in the contract. If both parties do not understand everything in the contract in detail, then the contract is void immediately.
I don't want to get off topic, but it's actually on topic. It's just we kind of wanted to bring it in at a later juncture in the show. But, for instance, you got a driver's license in your pocket most likely. Now, what most don't understand is that's actually the state pursuant to a contract with you that when you're on the roads that you are in a business or in a commercial environment, which is the context in which they use the fraud of the traffic court to pull people into a realm of dealing in commerce versus actually standing in law when they are taking people in for these traffic infractions. Another term that we should get into at some point.
Wow.
And what he's trying to make sure everyone is realizing that there can be no contract without your clear understanding of everything in it. So the other day, I'll just give a little quick story. The other day, I went to change over a DC license to a Maryland license for specific reasons. And during that, I got into a conversation with the person working at the MVA. And the person at the MVA literally said to me, "Oh, it's always funny when people transfer over their license from D.C. to Maryland because we use different codes than they do." So if you're using a code, the only way you can use a code for anything is if you're in a commercial aspect. The word she said was they have a different commercial code than us. Where their license says E, where R says D. And where theirs says D, R says C. So she literally said that they have a different commercial code. And they're using commercial code on your license. But they're telling you that it's for just individual private citizens to travel about. You can't be commercial and private at the same time. You can't be commercial and private at the same time. It's either one or the other.
Textbook instance of fraud.
So, there is a great reference I just want to make sure that the people are aware of. It's pretty much in every constitution that is in every state. They specifically say the Maryland one says the inhabitants of Maryland are entitled to the common law of England and a trial by jury according to that course of law. That's the Article 5. And in Article 4, it even goes in further, stating the people of this state have sole and exclusive rights of regulating the internal government police thereof as a free, sovereign, independent state. They literally tell you that you're a sovereign, independent state. You're not. You might live on a territory considered state of Maryland, but you are your own independent state.
Wow. That's deep.
And as such cannot be engaged in the government in a capacity of a superior to a, someone as a lower rank. Basically, the way they try to use these authoritarian stances against you don't actually apply once you understand law in its full form.
Wow. And by stating that you are an independent state, when have you ever heard Georgia tell Maryland what to do? When have you ever heard California tell D.C. what to do or have Florida tell Mississippi what to do. They can't, because they are not, they don't, aren't ruled by the same individuals. So
ironically,
no state can tell another state what to do.
That's what the Republicans, quote unquote, in this political scheme, try to drum up so much support for, states' rights, which is they're trying to say, hey, we're here in this territory. You don't have any right to govern over our populace. It's important to note that that actually applies to you as an individual. In the larger context. And
wow.
So real quick, because it's important to the conversation, I thought it would be important to note that a court of record is a supreme, is a superior court. Anything other than that, which is not a court of record, is an inferior court. And inferior courts are those whose jurisdictions are limited to special proceedings that are not in according to the course of the common law, which just right there you should have been able to understand or overstand that any time that the common law is not enacted, you are in a court lower than the actual law of the land and is subject to the common law taking precedent at any, you know, at any point throughout your proceedings. So that is always the prevailing legal status. When they take it
so
outside of that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just saying, just to clarify what he's trying to say is, so if you are in any court that is not a Supreme Court or court that says that a Supreme Court, pretty much Supreme Court or higher, which is a superior court, which is the court of the people, then you are in a court that uses statutes, codes, and regulations, which is commerce. Because in common law, there can be no statutes, codes, or regulations used. It's just the trials of fact. That's all. Nothing else. So when they say you broke code, whatever, whatever, well, you know you're not using law at all. There's no law being used there. And if you try to bring it up in a court of law, and if you try to bring it up in their court and tell them this is a court of statute, not a court of law, so you say this is not a court of record because I want a court of record, because you are entitled to the common law, as I read, common law. You're entitled to that at any point in time you want. They will tell you, they will try to make up some things, or they'll try to postpone, or they'll try to circumvent you by using legal subterfuge to get you into their court.
Word games.
So they'll make sure that you ask for a lawyer. So and they'll really try to tell you have to get a lawyer, because they know if you know these things, then there's no way they can prosecute you or get the funds that they're really looking for out of you.
Right. Wow. So this has been a great educational moment this morning. Very well. In closing remarks, what else would you like to say, and how would you like to prepare our listeners to the next show?
I guess we should each have a little statement right at this point to kind of continue our conversation. And in that, at least as far as I'm concerned, I would really like to get into the idea that a court of record or common law situations are applicable to scenarios where the proceedings are dealing with criminal proceedings. And when you're not, we're going to have to get into the idea that, let me make sure I get this correct. There has to be an injured party involved to invoke common law. Otherwise, you know that you are, in fact, not in a court of record. So if there's no physical people or individual to represent against to claim something against you, then there is no case. And we'll get into that in further episodes.
The only thing I have to say is read your state constitution in-depthly, making sure you understand that every word has a meaning to it, and look it up on a legal definition wise. Black's Law Dictionary.
Very essential
this
reading.
This has been a great show. Hidden Black's Law, each and every Tuesday at 8 a.m. We'll be here for you, hosted by Google in plain sight, where we will definitely get the information to you so that not only will you know the law, but you'll overstand what you're not being told, the whole law and nothing but the law. Educating communities on laws that they are not being told, protecting your rights as a people. Thanks for tuning in this morning, and we'll see you next Tuesday.